I had some of the same thoughts on my heart. And, you know, in time after the Reformation, the thought of the Lord's coming back, well, for one thing, it was hardly understood, but it was pretty well given up. And things got so systematized that there was no longer a looking for the Lord Jesus. The Thessalonians, they were expecting the Lord to come so much that when a few of them died or got killed for the faith, they were very concerned that these were going to miss out on the blessings that of the millennium, and so when the Lord would come back. They didn't have all their ducks sitting in a row. They didn't have things straightened out completely, and that's why I'm so thankful for them, because we wouldn't have the epistle to the Thessalonians, which really tells us about the Lord's coming, if it had not been that they had some things a bit mixed up. But the apostle contrasts, we don't have to write to you, brethren, about the Lord's coming as a thief in the night. No, you're looking for him. Here, the Lord threatens to come as a thief in the night. And when I think of what is taught in many places, it's going to be a shock to true believers in some of these places when the Lord calls us together to be with him. But here we have other things too, yet there are a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, because they are worthy. You know, man can measure the worthiness of somebody else. And are these people worthy to walk with us? Well, what do we do when we receive someone to the breaking of bread? You know, are you up to our standards? Well, the Lord says there are those who haven't defiled their garments, and they're going to walk with me in white. And that's far better than anything we can offer them. But, and he says, he that overcomes, he shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot his name out of the book of life. You know, there have been many believers whose names were written on some kind of a church register. They got expelled because of their stand for the Lord, perhaps, which was contrary to what that church taught. And there were those, too, who felt, and I'm sure there are some right here in this room, who have left one group or another, have had to have their name taken off the rolls of some book because they wanted to walk according to what the Lord teaches us in his word. Well, the time is coming when the Lord says, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. You know, there are people who feel that if you leave this church or that church, well, you've left the faith. You're going to go to hell because you don't go to that place anymore. Well, the Lord says, he's promising, I will not blot his name out of the book of life, and I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There have been Christians who have gotten into a lot of trouble for the stand they've taken for the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to confess their name before my Father and before the angels, regardless of what has happened to them here. And we have to be careful. There's always the danger. God gives us these things in his word as a warning. We need to take them to heart. Don't you act in a way that I cannot approve of, in a way that doesn't honor the Lord Jesus, but puts something else in place of him. Yes.
This is a point that I am confident a number of us know, but in concern for younger ones and those who may not be familiar with this, I think it's important that we look at the structural change that has been taking place in these passages in both Thyatira as well as Sardis and carries on into Philadelphia and Laodicea. There's a reason why the brethren here chose the first three churches for one conference and the last four churches for another. Remember that we saw that there is a progress, really a declension, but a historical progress that is being seen here prophetically. And that is found within the change of language and the structure of the language, comparing the first three churches to the last four churches. One of the things that we've already seen is that in these last four churches, the emphasis is to hold fast till I come. It's first expressed in Revelation 2:25. But hold fast what you have till I come. Remember what he says in verse 24 to the Thyatiran saints. He says, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. That's in great contrast to what he says to the assembly in Ephesus or to the assembly in Pergamos, where he says, remember, to Ephesus specifically, remember from where you have fallen and repent. In the first three churches, there is a real emphasis for the assembly as a whole to reform, really, to repent wholeheartedly and return to the Lord. But we find by Thyatira that things have gone to such a point, so much infiltration has occurred and so much damage has taken place within the assembly that he's no longer putting the emphasis on a complete returning of the assembly to the Lord. Okay? Instead, it's hold fast in chapter 2:25, in chapter 3, verse 3, and we also have it in Philadelphia as well. Thank you. In verse 11, yes, hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. So there's an emphasis of holding on. On the other side, we also, as has been mentioned here continually, of his soon return. This is not something that's emphasized in the first three assemblies. And so this is something to take note of. There has been a change. And this is important to note, brethren, because sometimes we hear people who say, well, perhaps we can cause a complete reunion of all the believers. That isn't prophesied in Scripture. Or sometimes we hear, well, the Lord is going to bring about a great movement, like what we find in Acts chapter 2. And sometimes we hear believers say, well, what's wrong with us? We have only, you know, two or three, and this assembly over here, this gathering over here has 2,000 people, all right? Well, certainly we don't want to eliminate the fact that it may be on account of our weakness. That is true. But there's also, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are identified with a rejected Lord. And so we need to be careful of those movements that teach that Acts chapter 2 will happen now. That Pentecost can happen today. Because that's not what's prophesied. What's prophesied is the declension of the church. What's prophesied is the infiltration and breaking up of the church. But we thank God that at the rapture, all that man has done will be undone by the Lord.
I think it's important to touch, just in closing, if I could. Brother Fred mentioned verse 5, and we've stayed pretty well away from it, but I won't. I'll take a shot at it. Thinking, because I think it's very important for us to see this and understand this verse. Verse 4 and 5, because here in verse 4, those that overcome, it says, those that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. We would connect this, would we not, to what is going to take place when, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the bride has made herself ready, the Lamb's wife has made herself ready, and there she is dressed in bright garments. And it speaks of moral purity, does it not? And so we have this thought of moral purity fit for his presence. And then we have, in a practical sense, and then we have in verse 5, it continues on, and I will not blot his name out from the book of life. There's a lot of different thoughts on this, and I'm going to try to just give you one. The thought with the book of life, there's scripture speaks of the book of life, it speaks of the book of the living, and some feel that this is two different books, some feel it's the same book. The book of life is where those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, their names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And it's mentioned 12 times in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. It's mentioned 12 times in Scripture. But what we find in the book of Revelation in chapter 20, at the great white throne, the books are open. The books, the things done here in this scene, are open. They give an account of what's been done. And then the book, the Lamb's book of life, is open. And those whose names are in that book, they do not appear at the judgment seat of Christ, but those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, they shall not see life. In fact, they go into the second death. And so it's important for us to realize that this verse, verse 5, is not speaking of believers being blotted out. That's an impossibility. That's contrary to the rest of Scripture, isn't it? Because the rest of the Scripture says we've passed from death to life, from condemnation to no condemnation. So our names will never be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life as believers. But what this verse is saying is those that overcome, their names won't be blotted out because they've overcome and they've borne the characteristics and features of an overcomer. And maybe others have something to add to that. But I just want to emphasize for all of us here that a believer cannot be blotted out of the Lamb's book of life.